Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G'day. You're listening to Hardcore Listening with me, Kangaroo Chris Glasson, and...
I did not expect that.
Neither did I.
Put me on the back foot there.
I sure did. I didn't know where that came from.
My Australian accent can get mixed up and probably come across really racist, so I'm gonna hold off of that, I think.
Well, firstly, thank you for knowing that it was an Australian accent, because normally when I do an accent, everyone just looks at me and I have to then say...
It was Welsh.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks, mate. We've done quite a fun one this morning, haven't we?
Over on Patreon?
Yeah.
If you want to hear that, it was top five discoveries that have... changed your future, I guess, is a way. Yeah. So things that you'd stumbled across that have had a massive impact on your life. It was kind of an emotional one and a shit one.
Number five was your wand. Number four was your balls, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Three, sphincter.
Number two was your God stitches. So we've just recorded that. So if you do want to find out all about that, go over to Patreon, patreon.com/hardcorelisting. Go over there, watch the video of me and Chris in a hot tub, and we will explain everything you need to know about getting another episode every week of me and him talking drivel in the shed.
For just 10 bucks, $10.
Yes.
You can get that.
A month. Yeah. So once that's converted, that works out. About £2 a week.
It's not even a packet of fags, is it, these days?
I don't think it's been a packet of fags for about 30 years.
Really?
Yeah.
How much is a buck of 20?
12.
Shut the front door.
I think, over a tenner there.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my cigarettes being delivered. okay.
Before we get on with today's episode, we should thank Mr. 76.
We should, but we're not going to.
Yeah, fuck off.
And same to our sponsors, Love Beer and Bang Boom.
Yeah. Would you like to Bang Boom, Luke?
Yes. And I would like to love Charles as well.
Well, maybe get Charles round
Mary,
to kind of...
What is it?
Shag, marry, avoid.
Right. So I'd shag Luke, marry Charles...
And avoid me. That's my next tattoo. It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listening, the podcast. Okay, so we have a guest today.
Phil, welcome.
Hi.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, really good, thanks.
So, Phil, you reach out to us to explain what you do, and you run a few record labels. Emergent Music is the overarching one, isn't it? And
it's got a few little ones
between that. And originally, buddy, we have to start with this with an apology to, I guess, straight away, as only a hardcore listening word. Welcome on, sorry. but we were going to try and record this a few months ago, wasn't we?
Because you
had something on and we were like, we're going to try and tie it all in with that, but we didn't get the opportunity to. So you've managed to come down to sunny Grays, third most miserable town in the country, isn't it?
Correct. the most polluted in the country, though.
Is it?
Yeah, it's third most miserable and the most polluted.
Jesus Christ, Phil, I'm so sorry, buddy.
Well, I looked all right on the way in.
Yeah, yeah. You might need like some sort of inhaler on the way home.
Yeah, we had a little whip round this morning on the motorway just to clean it up, mate. So thanks for coming down.
So,
no, thanks for having me.
Before we get chatting, tell us a little bit about the label.
So Emergent Music is it's a label that I run with my partner called Max, who lives in Canada. Basically, it's four different record labels. So there's Emergent Textures, which is kind of deep house. There's Emergent Shores, which is kind of melodic progressive house. There's Emergent Cities, which is kind of progressive trance, and then there's Emergent Skies, which is uplifting trance. And I'm involved with Textures, Shores, and Cities.
Wow.
So yeah, kind of just doing basically the day to day kind of running of the labels, kind of working with the artists and stuff like that. And then I also kind of put a bit out under my own alias, which is Skewer. Which is spelled SKUA, like the bird, which actually is a stupid name to pick because if you Google it, basically all the links you get are of like kind of skewers killing penguins, and that's kind of, you have to go for about four or five pages before you actually get any of my tunes.
People are kind of like a bit sad by the time they get to your page.
Yeah,
I think by page three, I'll be like, fuck this guy.
but yeah, so I do a bit of that as well, and a bit of DJing and things like that.
Is that how you kind of got into it, through DJing and stuff like that?
Yeah, basically, I was DJ ever since kind of university in like the mid 90s, and I went to uni in Birmingham. Just as house was all kind of kicking off. Well, I say yes, it was kind of at its peak, really. So there was like what was then kind of huge clubs like Wobble, and we were lucky enough to start playing at a club called Crunch, which was basically, it's just like a big party kind of all night thing.
Where was Crunch in? Where were they?
So do you know?
Yeah, Birmingham? So I went to uni at Birmingham too.
Oh, did you? Crunch was on the Friday night of Wobble, was on the Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Both in the same building. Mm-hmm. In Hockley. Just in this old, I think in the day it was like kind of an old lady's gym, basically, you know, where they and do all like the, you know, exercise classes and all of that.
Yeah.
And then kind of at the weekend, they just turned it into this mad club. And it was called Wobble because it had like a sprung dance floor that you can kind of struggle to walk across it in a straight line, kind of, because it's just
crazy,
moving that much.
Because they had one, I used to hear that Fabric's main dance floor was on springs.
Right,
well,
okay.
But I could never really feel it in that sense. Do you know what I mean? So,
little bit of a heads up, the Civic Hall where we've done our live show.
Yeah.
The largest sprung dance floor in Europe.
Just in Grays, in the most miserable. How can it be your third most miserable?
We've got
place?
To have something.
They should have a plaque.
I know. It's the most depressing place with the worst kind of atmosphere to live in. But we've got a large sprung dance floor and fat and my whitbread. What more do you need?
Exactly. Stop complaining. So
yeah, I mean, basically DJed for ages, and then kind of got into making a bit of music, and just over time kind of progressed to kind of putting stuff out on labels. And the guy that I run the label with now, he had a different one at the time, and I was putting stuff out through him. And then he started up Emergent, and kind of a little while in asked me if I wanted to get involved. And yeah, that's kind of it, really.
Wicked.
Yeah.
I was so, just as soon as you said you sort of like cut your teeth in Birmingham doing sort of DJing and that, I can't capture a happier point in my life than those 3 years.
Cheers.
At uni. It was definitely downhill from there.
Yeah.
But happier in terms of like that social energy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You're talking about drugs?
No, but there was some.
I mean, that helps.
Involved. Yeah, yeah. That did form part of it.
What year did you go?
So I was there in 1999. Okay. So 99 till 2002, and spent a lot of my time in the clubs in Birmingham, right. And I fucking loved it. I honestly, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And Shu recently had a guest on. He had James Lavelle on.
Yeah. Listen to
and
it.
he played at the Medicine Bar, and I was always at the Custard Factory.
Yeah.
Or all the other venues, like we were talking about Sanctuary, and then there was Babushka, and loads of others that were opening up there. And we used to go to the Q Club for all the big major raves, for Flashback. Did you? I don't know if you've ever done that.
So Flashback was at the same, well, it started at the same venue that we used to play at. Mistress Mo, who ran Flashback, was my next door neighbour. Well, I used to,
what a small world,
used to live in a flat, and she was in the one literally next door.
No way.
Yeah, there was like a couple of times she used to have kind of the DJs, up beforehand and whatever. And there was so we shared a back garden with them, and there was like Mickey Finn out in the back garden, a kind of old school kind of hero.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That must be so inspiring, though, as well, because if you're that close to it, like we were coming from the uni halls to it, and it's mind-boggling and whatnot. But if you were getting that close to that, no wonder sort of like your trajectory and your future sort of like goes down that route.
Yeah, it was mad how you kind of just fall into it, really. Because I mean, when I went to uni, I was like big time indie kid. So I used to have like kind of, believe it or not, curtains. So they can't see, but I'm totally bald. Used to have kind of curtains down here, big greasy kind of fanny part, and in the middle and that. And it was all about like Stone Roses and Charlatans and Smiths and everything. And I went to uni, and my mate wanted to buy some decks, but he didn't have the cash, so I kind of went halves with him. And then just because I'd gone halves with him, kind of, you start learning to, like, DJ and messing about with the tunes. And then kind of, like, he was one of these guys who, like, knew everybody. So we started going out to all the clubs and that, but, within a couple of weeks, he kind of knew all the promoters and everything. And, so, I mean, you'll know it's so much about who you know to kind of get in
definitely,
there.
Definitely.
And so I think more because of kind of connections really than kind of talent on my part, we kind of ended up getting some gigs, and it's just mad. And then before you know it, you're just immersed in it, aren't you?
No one's that good to start with, I don't think. And I think what always used to hold me back, and I started to DJ in Birmingham,
your attitude?
More drum and bass was my attitude, and I'm not very likeable, but I think you've just got to get over that when you're mixing, because there's that fantasy, like so I first had decks back when I was 16, set of belt drive cam ones, and everyone, my mates, were playing garage, and I was doing it because I thought it was cool, and I didn't like it. And it wasn't until I started going uni, I discovered drum and bass, and then I was like, okay, right. And I'd already by that point had started getting sucked into the house music scene as well. But I was like practicing indoors, and I was really quite competent, but the nerves of thinking of performing out and that, you just got to fucking do it, man, and blag it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then once you get those nerves out of the way now, I mean, do you ever get nervous DJing now, mate?
No.
Stu? No. I mean, you're not nervous because it's literally...
I'm dead inside.
There's one person at the venue, but...
What's your top five?
So, my top five is top five YouTube holes.
So good.
I mean, glass and lit up at the...
Yeah, it's so good.
So, I guess for those that don't know what a YouTube hole is, it's kind of... And I'm terrible for this. Like, if I've got anything important to do, I'll sit down there at my computer and then just waste about an hour and a half, 2 hours just kind of watching random videos, basically. I was talking to someone, actually, who said it's kind of... It's an important part of the creative process, is just procrastinating for a while. But
film it, Chris.
But like you fuck about, and then you get to a point where you're like, right, get on with it, and then you just smash it out. But anyway, so I waste so much time just watching random videos on YouTube, and like before you know it, it's like 4 in the morning and you've just kind of don't know what
the fuck's happened.
Yeah,
like, because like with like say you could say like a box set or something like that sort of thing, like you almost know how long you're gonna be there for, and then you're gonna, unless you go on a binge, which is very likely, but you feel like even if you complete a binge, you're like, well, I've done that now.
Yeah.
Because I set out to listen, watch these 5 episodes or this series, and I've done it. With a YouTube hole, you don't quite know like how long you're going to end up at your desk, and often you never set out with that intention.
Yeah.
And I do exactly the same thing, Phil. And I'll be like, oh, I'm just gonna while I do this, I'm gonna put out the laundry.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna put on a video to go on in the background, and before you know it, like an hour and a half has passed. And I'm looking at the mysteries of the Crystal Skulls. And I'm like, what the fuck has happened? Like, where has my time gone?
Yeah.
But like you say, it's weird because it's... A lot of it is information that isn't necessary. Like, you're not gonna die or live by it. But
yeah.
It's just fascinating.
Yeah.
Even the weird throwaway junk.
And I think the thing is, like... It's probably only really like a phenomenon of about the last 10 years or so as well. Cause I can't remember how long YouTube's been around for now, but, you know, certainly in my lifetime, you know, when I was my kid's age, there was nothing like that. You know what I mean? You're talking like encyclopedias or something. And now there's just so much content of anything you want to kind of look at, really. But
look at or and learn. Like, I loved encyclopedias. I've still got all our old school ones, and they were phenomenal things. Really were great with all the imagery in that. But it is like a million times more information. And not only is it stuff you can just pass the time with, but there is really useful stuff in YouTube as well. The amount of I repaired my S4, my DJ equipment, off of a YouTube video. Now, that's mad that I just went, oh, it's not working. Right, and whipped it out and re-soldered the circuit board. That's bonkers. Like, you'd have never been able to do that, as you say, like more than 10 years ago.
And
when do you... Because I honestly don't know. Guess what? How old do you think YouTube is then, Stu? You got any ideas?
10 years?
Yeah.
Maybe 10 years. No, I reckon more. I'm just trying to.
It's probably one of them. It's been around for ages.
Yeah.
But then suddenly, I remember a lad I knew said, "Oh, have you seen this thing YouTube? Like, there's this kind of." And it was for him. Like, it was like there's all these music videos on there, you know. And that must have been about 2008, 2009, something like that. But how long it's actually been going for?
February 2005.
Was it?
Yeah, I've just looked. 14 years has been going.
2005, fucking hell.
But it is one of those ones where, like you say, like that got more prevalent the better we had with bandwidth and stuff like that as well. So those sort of improvements have made it even more accessible. Now the stats are more kids watch YouTube than they do watch fucking TV.
That is absolutely the case.
And so do I. I don't watch any terrestrial TV. If there's a certain thing that I know I want to watch, cool, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
But that'll probably be on an iPlayer. It won't be that time of day. Our whole consumption of it is completely different.
So my kids, my lad's 7, my daughter's 11, they both pretty much exclusively watch YouTube. They're not even like Netflix nowadays. And actually, my daughter's always on TikTok now. I don't understand what that even is.
I'll whenever I walk in the kids' rooms, generally the youngest one's like, get out, I'm trying to do a TikTok, whatever that means.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. And I've just nosed up some sort of video or something. No idea.
She stood there like in a Vogue pose.
And completely that. It's completely that, mate. And they do not watch television.
I used to scream at my mum when she walked in my room. I'd be like, I'm having a TikTok.
Yeah.
Don't come in.
Yeah.
And Hoover's on.
That was the other box set you're working your way through, wasn't it?
Completed that.
Yeah.
Right. What's your number 5?
Right. So the way I've done this, I've done it because there's like so much.
Right.
So I kind of did it by categories. So like, you know, kind of YouTube holes that I've kind of gone down in the past.
Yeah.
So my number 5 is conspiracy theories. Yeah. Right.
So good.
Because there is so much of it out there. And I mean, I'm not like kind of a, you know, foil hat wearing kind of maniac, but a lot of it is really compelling, like the way you know they make it, and the people that do these videos are obviously like super into it as well. So I mean, I noted down a YouTube hole that I went down a little while back, which kind of started off at like 9/11 conspiracy theories, right? And then it went climate change, Bermuda Triangle, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, Paul McCartney being dead, the pyramids, Hitler in South America, the murder of Robin Cook, which is a more recent one, Flat Earth, JFK, Illuminati, moon landings, chemtrails, and Black Ops.
Been through all of them.
And it's like, brilliant. And because a lot of this content is kind of homemade, you know, it's, I'm not going to say necessarily the quality control is there, but yeah, and you know, it's like I say, it's just really kind of fascinating, some of this stuff. And you know, I think even if you don't believe all of it, you then start thinking, well, is there truth in, you know, it?
I think the main thing you can draw from that I think is the main cool thing with conspiracy theory videos is, I guess, whether it's something like you say that's quite poorly made that might not necessarily be completely believable, I think you just draw from it that you don't generally just believe the shit you get fed elsewhere now. I think you just question stuff a bit more. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think a challenge definitely of our kids, your kids' generation is learning how to pick the peanuts from the turd, and in this whole social media space. And it's something that we're not ready for. And kids, and the first few tranches of kids are just going to lose that war until we get wise enough to be like having these procedures in place to be like, right, well, obviously it's simple, don't believe everything you read, but it's so easy to. And it's really strange because YouTube really has been my a testing ground for maturing myself in that way. And conspiracy theories is like the ultimate ground for that, because it is so much like the truth is out there, but then there's also a lot of nonsense and a lot of supposition and conjecture and poorly researched stuff and people just echo chambering.
It's called guesswork.
Guesswork, which I'm basically the prime minister of. It's all out there, and conspiracy theories is that. But there are sometimes elements of truth. Some of it is all whole truth, and sometimes conspiracies have been proven to be absolutely 100% correct now. Like, so much so that even the government are like, yeah, that was a thing that did happen. That's mind blowing. It keeps my mind open to it, but it's fascinating. But I can't help but I'll watch it all, Phil, you know, even the more ridiculous stuff. But I'm armed with, you know, break this down. Where have they got that from? Why should I believe that?
Yeah,
and stuff like that. But some of them, when you come across one that blows your fucking mind. Like one of them, so 76, our producer, he loves this. I get bombarded. We've been wanting to do a podcast for absolutely ages called Tinfoil Twats, which is about us picking a subject each episode, and we all have to go and research it, and then we come back, and then we'll decide whether or not it is or isn't a conspiracy, but done in a tongue-in-cheek way in a lot of it, and then trying to be serious in other elements. And but one of the ones that we saw was, have you seen like the alien ones with the Canadian Ministry of Defence and stuff like that?
No, I haven't
seen
those.
Fucking hell. And you like, these are actual videos of a guy who was the Canadian Ministry of Defence. He's in he's in the G8 or G5 saying, I need to let you all know there are aliens. And it's kind of like, that's not me saying it. That's someone in an absolutely high official position saying, I'm not. And when you watch those videos, he's how calm he is and how he's not trying to be reactionary or saying anything mental. He's like, I'm saying this because I think now's the right time. This isn't to cause panic. I'm not saying this is the end of the world, but there are not even just one to say that the ones that are on the planet have all got the same agenda is incorrect. We've identified about five different sort of like species. And you think, fuck it.
So it's, it's proper like Men in Black.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's this thing that then, as you say, you, at 2 a.m., you're like, I've got shit to do. What am I doing?
I think the conspiracy theory YouTube hole is something that a lot of people... I think it's a rite of passage. I think everybody should have that couple of weeks of just fear, thinking, we're fucked. We're fucked. And like, because there, and it is eye-opening, so much of it. And, you know, whether you subscribe to any of it, I think it does just make you, you know, to reiterate that point, question stuff a little bit more that you might just see on Sky News.
Yeah. Good shout. Good shout.
Number four.
So number four for me is instructional videos. So we were kind of mentioning that just earlier. But I literally don't know how I used to learn stuff before YouTube came about. And there was literally anything, isn't there? So, I mean, you were saying you know, you fixed your decks. But there's anything like last year we were redoing the back garden and I was putting in this wall of garden sleepers kind of on end and I didn't really know how to do it. Went on YouTube, there's a guy there who's kind of done it and there's about four videos of him doing it. That itself took about 2 hours. But then I went on to watch him lining his loft, kind of rewiring the house. And, you know, because it was really well done just really well presented. And
so, now you live in his house.
Yeah, now we live together.
We're married.
Our garden sleepers look incredible.
But, so, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. I put up a light in my garage and didn't know how to wire it and went on YouTube. You know, took me 5 minutes to find the right one. But then, you know, especially with like the kind of stuff that I'm involved in, making music, there's so many videos out there. You know, if you want to learn how to make dubstep or drum and bass or house or whatever, there's guys that have put so much content out there. And a lot of it's actually really good.
High quality as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, again, it's like, I'm going to keep saying he's picking the peanuts from the turd on this. Like, you can really find people who just fucking live and breathe something, one niche thing, even within the music industry. Yeah. Like, they know. And their channel is so carefully presented and well edited.
Yeah.
And people have got no idea how long that whole process takes. But then you've got the information there. Like, you go to university. University's like 3 years, which you can do in a year and a half. Mm. Fact, like, you know, if you cut out the fun, and just focus. But that's only a person standing at the front of the class talking at you.
Yeah.
Really, and some interaction. Yeah, depending on the level of, you know, what you're doing and whatnot. Most YouTube channels, if it's a quality, if it's been done well, can do that. You can get a diploma in any subject that you want by studying good quality and, again, knowing when to do it. I've fixed my car a few times on things I've watched off YouTube, but sometimes it takes me half hour to get to one that is really worth watching because you've got some dude, like some mechanic, holding it on his bloody... He's trying to film it on a bloody potato and he's not really giving very clear instruction on what he's doing, blah blah blah, you can't see it, waste the time. And then there'll be someone else who's really absolutely, like you say, absolutely goes for it, and then actually, like you say, you can't help but find yourself then following them on the channel. Yeah. And then you're like, oh no, that's pretty handy.
Yeah, that's, I think if something's kind of presented well, it almost kind of doesn't matter what the content is, you know, because it's like, you want to watch it, it's, you know, it's compelling. And, so, I mean, the other one is like random crafts as well.
Yeah.
I watched some guy build a guitar from scratch out of a piece of wood, you know, and it's like, and it was kind of fast forwarded over like a few weeks, but it looked fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And you must have seen these ones where people make these tables out of like an old bit of wood and then they pour like acrylic on it and it sets into all these like mad kind of shapes within like the texture of the wood and that. yeah, again, there's just so much stuff there that, you know, people just make this stuff and then kind of want to share how to do it. Because, I mean, I'm sure, you know, in this day and age, some people make a lot of money off YouTube, but a lot of people probably don't really make anything, and they just kind of share it, I guess, for, you know,
like being creative and doing cool shit and filming what they're passionate about.
You have to reap what you have to really invest in it. I think, like, you've got to invest that time to produce a good quality one.
Mm.
You do, and but the rewards are there. But
sorry, I've just turned to my right, and I've just turned to my left, and I'm now talking to a 14-year-old. What the fuck are you wearing?
What are you going on about? Oh, it's a Wu-Tang.
I know it's Wu-Tang.
It's a Wu-Tang tie-dye t-shirt, all right? Back up.
Whose was it? Jeff Capes? It's fucking massive.
Yeah, it's the fashion, isn't it?
Did you make it yourself?
Yeah, I did. It was off a YouTube video.
No, it's come back, Wesson.
Well, can I throw one in? Because he said it's just a slight offshoot of those sort of instructional videos. But it's when people are creating, like building things.
Mm.
It's like there's channels where these people are making swords, but they're making swords from all the sort of like fantasy science fiction things, and even the manga ones, where like in like some of these manga cartoons, the people are carrying lugging around swords that are absolutely impractical as shit, but they are. You know, they're really honestly like 6 foot long and a foot wide blades. No one ever swung a sword like that. But they'll go ahead and make them. And you just can't help but like, I didn't know that I need to watch this. And now I must watch this now.
Yeah.
And then you're like praying, please then swing that at a watermelon. Please, like, please let, please the end of this video be you fucking swinging that at a watermelon. And they do. And you come, and then you, and you can go about.
The other one's like a crate of water bottles, isn't it? As well, it's like going kind of right through the water bottle, which is you know, the tried and tested way to know whether a sword's going to cut through a person, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That or a pig carcass. We all knew that, right? Bit weird.
Can I just throw a quick one in?
Yeah.
One that I went down recently.
Yeah.
Magnet fishing.
What the fuck? What magnet fish is that?
Have you seen it, Phil?
No.
Oh, mate.
What do you mean?
It's fucking brilliant.
Oh, hold on. I think, right.
I mean, it ain't difficult.
Yeah.
It's called magnet fishing.
Right, yeah.
Like, they're not casting a fishing line out trying to catch magnets.
Yeah.
Like, they just buy a big magnet. I mentioned it on social media.
Yeah.
Big Papa J had already sent me the picture of the magnet he'd bought 2 weeks previous.
Did you share a YouTube channel?
And Leon had already bought a magnet as well. And it was like they'd seen it. So you buy a magnet off Amazon for about 25 quid, put it on a bit of rope.
Is it an electromagnet or regular magnet?
It's a magnet.
Yeah, okay.
And then you literally lob it into a canal and see what comes out.
See what comes out, yeah.
The videos on there, people are pulling out machine guns, swords. safes, bikes, like the shit they pull out, it's like, fucking hell, this is the bollocks. Like in the 80s when everybody had a metal detector and it was like, brilliant, I'm going to spend all day digging up to find like 6p.
Yeah.
Like, but it was like, it's watch magnet fishing. Yeah. That's
so when,
my
when you were when you start saying that, I was thinking like you chuck the magnet in and then try and catch it with another magnet. You'd be there all fucking day, wouldn't it?
There could be a channel dedicated to that. I'm sure that exists.
No, but what you said makes far more sense. Something similar to that. There's a whole series of videos of this guy who just goes with this kind of sieve, basically. I think it's like in Spain or something, off one of the beaches. And he's just kind of getting the sieve in the sand, kind of in, you know, about 3 or 4 foot in the water. And the amount of shit he brings out there, you know, like kind of watches, you know, I mean, all stuff that people have kind of dropped in, like phones and everything. And, you know, once you drop something in the sea after a couple of minutes, it's kind of gone, isn't it? You know, all kinds of stuff that gets washed in. But, some of the canals around by us, I'm not sure you'd necessarily want to go fishing in.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're the ones you do, because they're the ones where you're pulling out, basically just put out shitloads of knives and lots of guns.
You've got big use for those things.
And like, no, it's just like obviously things that people are like, well, get rid of that, go and throw it in a canal.
Yeah.
But the strength in these magnets, like literally yanking out bikes, and
that's the weird thing. Because what happens if, like, your magnet? Like, the reason why I asked for electromagnet is, can you shut off the magnetism? Because, like, what happens if your little magnet lands on a safe and you've got it on a bit of fish wire? You've just lost your magnet, haven't you? Because it's never come
out. Well, they're pulling out safes.
Yeah.
And they're pulling. Obviously, a lot of episodes the police get called because they're pulling out guns. And, like Second World War guns and other things where people have probably done bad shit and thought, oops, get rid of that.
Plop it in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Number three.
That's a good one.
Right, number three is action sports.
Okay, yeah.
So for me, there's, like, a few key ones that I would always kind of... And so, yeah, some of this... I guess, you know, you get like the repeat video where you've watched one thing and it follows on. And yes. Some of it you watch one thing and then you think, oh, I remember that. And then you go and search for it. But for me, snowboarding, skateboarding, mountain biking, kind of trick riding, BMX stuff, wingsuit flying is fucking incredible.
Oh, God.
Frisbee trick shots, I fucking love.
I've never seen that. I've got to watch that.
There's this geezer called Brody Smith, American guy, and... Honestly, it's fucking incredible. He's like the other end of a stadium and he throws this frisbee and it goes through like a basketball net. And yeah, it's just stuff like that. But it's all like, it's all kind of whooping and hollering afterwards. Yeah. But it's, it's really good.
People were doing that with, what was it, ping pong balls and they're like ping pong ball trick shots. And you can go down that as a YouTube hole. And the things people are doing with ping pong balls,
and
just
it's like proper intricate, isn't it? Yeah.
Mind-boggling.
I've seen some mind-boggling stuff with ping pong balls and some bars. It's weird. I mean, I imagine every single thing that Phil just listed, you've gone down holes on them, haven't you?
Yeah, not so, frisbee's a new one. I haven't done that. But you're saying like the snowboarding and mate, some of that shit. Like, so one of my best buds, Mark, will send me the snowboarding ones of you know, top snowboarders or young upcoming snowboarders and the shit they're doing. And it's the same with skateboarding. And because you used to have all the rad skateboard videos back in the 90s, didn't you? Getting hold of those sort of ones. And
did you used to play Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
So like the videos at the end and Rodney Mullen was always the one.
Yeah.
On there for me anyway. Yeah. It's like his video, and it's not, that's on YouTube as well. It's fucking incredible.
Can I put a little side note on skateboard videos, which is one of my favourite ones that I generally get to via some kind of UFC video. I quite like watching skateboard leg break.
Yeah.
Or arm break, where you'll just see some teenage lad just going, "Way!" Yeah. Oh my god! Oh, and you just see like their leg bent the wrong way, I have got a weird thing that it's quite mad seeing things snap the wrong way.
Sort of like a sort of morbid curiosity.
It generally
morbid because it's not death.
I think my introduction was obviously through like a Muay Thai video, or Anderson Silva getting his leg broke, and then what that opens up, and it's generally.
Yeah.
The craziest fuckers that snap their bones are generally skateboarders.
Yeah, yeah. Well, skateboarding to me is the most. I don't know. Like, I put skateboarding on a completely different level for in terms of a sport, because I think it's immediately painful. You're learning skateboarding. I don't know if there's many other sports where the level of pain is immediately just there, constantly present, and yet the skill and balance you've got to have to do that is. Fucking incredible. It blows my mind, skateboarding. And it's such an urban driven thing that came from this sprawling expansion of human beings and using these sort of like concrete and materials just to fucking plaster it everywhere. I love it. I think it's just an amazing art form. It's really, really dope, mate.
I used to be really into skateboarding when I was about kind of 15, 16, something like that. And I was never very good at it. I mean, I could kind of ollie if I wasn't going very quickly, but that was it. That was kind of about it. But
I was same level, mate.
But in my head, you know, when I think back now, I think, you know, if I'd have spent a couple of weeks, I could have done a kickflip or whatever. But then you see like some of these guys, and they're jumping off like sets of stairs that are kind of taller than your house, and like sliding down rails. And the thing is, I mean, what you were saying about leg breaks, I mean, there's a whole thing of fails, isn't there, YouTube? But, you know, for that one clip where they've nailed it, they've probably fucked that up about 40 times beforehand, you know. And it's probably the same with like snowboarding and all the rest of it as well. But
I definitely found snowboarding is easier to pick up I don't know, master, because I haven't mastered it, but it was definitely easier to pick up. And I thought I'd be pretty shit because I wasn't a good snowboarder. But yeah, it's still the same. It is the try and try again and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we go snowboarding if we can a couple of times a year, and I kind of consider myself all right, but like nothing in comparison to some of these. And it's all, you know, it's kids as well. It's like, you know, kids who, I guess, just don't have any fear. Well, actually, that being said, I've kind of noted down a couple that there's a couple of guys that I really like to watch their videos of, which is Travis Rice. I don't know if if you're into snowboarding, he is like the god. And Jeremy Jones. He does all big mountain riding, like cliffs and stuff like that. But then there's another guy at the minute called Gimbal God, who like does all of this filming. So basically, he just follows people around with this big, it's a GoPro on the end of a kind of gimbal thing. But it looks like he's about kind of half a foot away from them, and they're doing like just insane tricks, and he's just following all. I mean, look it up on YouTube. It looks like a video game. It's that fucking good. Just like the skill that you've got to have to do something like that. Because I mean, like I say, you know, I do snowboard, and there's no fucking way. I mean, I'll go through the park, and I'll get my missus to like stand next to the jumper the camera, and I'll have like a picture of me about kind of a foot in the air.
And you'll feel like you're in about like 20 foot.
Yeah.
You really do. Your first few jumps, mate, is just like you think that you've gone sailing. So the first super massive jump I accidentally did was in French, and it was off at the Europe's largest natural kicker. And basically, it's in Chamonix, and we got towards it, and my mates and Mark went to me, "You're not going to fucking do that." And that was probably, at that moment, the wrong word pattern to say to me, because he completely reverse psychology'd me, and I went for it. And I was looking at it, I thought, I've really got to give this speed, because I'm not even going to get over it, because it was the vertical part of the ramp, it was literally vertical, was about 5 foot at least, and then it was still steep before that. So I was like, I've got to hit this fast. And I hit that fill, and Mark just said he just saw me just fly up into the air. And that was the first time when I realised the difference between that little first little jump I did and actually doing something that, oh, fuck, I'm going to break both of my legs here. I didn't. I landed. I tumbled after landing, but there was no absolute zero injury. And I was like, hang about. That weren't as bad as you think it is. And more so with snowboarding and skateboarding, there's less chance of injury, although you can also kill yourself really fucking quickly. But these kids that you're saying, like, they start so young that they haven't really even grasped. They don't. Your attitude to risk gets lower as you get older. And my recovery now from snowboarding is so slow that, you know, I take an injury, I'm like, oh, bollocks. I'm not going to heal very quickly off of that. But yeah, it's incredible. And these videos you see, and when they've got the GoPros on and you watch them do these runs and that. I've seen a skier do the most insane fucking run in and amongst people and up and back onto lifts and off lifts.
Yeah, oh, I know the one you mean. Yeah. And it's all like cut together where he's he goes through like a restaurant and stuff like that. Yeah. It's absolutely fucking insane. But so that's... That was my number three.
Great action sports, yeah.
I want to throw a quick one in.
Go on, mate.
I really like watching American soldiers returning home and being reunited with their dogs.
That is such a niche. Not even their family, but their dogs.
Well, it started, I saw something where like the Marine walks into the school and the kid bursts into tears and gives his dad a card. I mean, it's lovely, you know. But then one of the ones led down the side was like, soldier reunited with dog.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm going to have a bit of this.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just like, obviously I must have had a few glasses of vino and the bottom lip's going and I'm literally just trawling through fucking soldiers being reunited with dogs. Just seeing excited dogs not being able to contain themselves because they ain't seen their owner for a year. Oh, I'm welling up thinking about it.
Do you know what, mate? I make you right.
There's so much horrible stuff on the internet, and that was really nice.
Two things I want to talk about hot and horrible stuff on the internet, but like that sort of thing. I've seen loads of that where it's like man reunited with a dog after 10 years, or gorilla meets man who saved him from
mate,
trappers.
I've been down there.
And at first the gorilla's not there, and then the gorilla, and you're just like, oh my God.
Gorilla bro. Like tenderly comes out, and then they start hugging. It's fucked up.
It's beautiful. Like, yeah. It's so like of all the crazy things that the internet can show you and the sadness, and sometimes you see that in the comments, which we haven't touched yet. Like, there's all these things that you watch and all these skillful things that human beings do. And there was a Facebook page called People Are Awesome. And it's just people doing shit hot things that they've just really, like, they're so obviously single-mindedly focused on whatever they love. And it might be gymnastics, it might be parkour, it might be skateboarding. And that's what they're doing. They're happy doing it. And they're doing stuff that doesn't look possible as a human being.
Yeah.
It looks impossible that you can achieve what they're doing with their balancing or whatever. Mm. And I watch those sort of things. And it's life-reaffirming. And it makes me think, it's so sad that like so many people, and most of us, are so tied up in a culture of consumer culture where really you should just buy stuff, or and then you've got countries in absolute turmoil over war, and you think, God, we should just be just pursuing things like these awesome things that the human body can achieve and do, and yet we get all caught up with in so many other petty, pathetic things.
I mean, and it is, you do get caught up in it because I look at this dog going mental, seeing its owner.
Yeah.
And thinking it's something really fucking wonderful, which it is.
Yeah.
But for anyone that's got a dog, if I pop out to my car, I get something out of the boot and I come back in, my dog's that excited.
Yeah.
How excited is my dog every time you knock on my door?
Yeah, he is.
Blows his fucking mind.
He's like, don't you ever leave me like that again.
I literally just popped to the car, mate.
I can't watch them videos, honestly. I think it's once, since I've become a dad, I've just turned into such a fanny. And like stuff like that. Or there's one of this little boy who's lost his dog, and his mum and dad kind of find it, and they've got it in the back of the car.
Yeah, I've seen
and
that.
And you've seen it. Oh, yeah. Fucking hell, I was in floods.
Yeah.
And it absolutely gets me.
Yeah.
And
I try and watch stuff like that when I'm at the club. Because generally, I will have some arsehole just being a gobshite out the front, and I just think, I need to go and confirm that the human race is all right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll watch that, and I'll just think, that's all right.
Yeah.
Dogs are cool.
That's a really good shout, mate. That's a really good one. Yeah.
What's your number two?
Compliments on your T-shirt, Phil, by the way. You got a super, super sharp
super
T-shirt.
Cheers.
I would play that tonight if I was there.
So DJ Zinc has started like putting these out basically on his Bandcamp, and there's this, and he's done a couple of other ones as well, but he started doing loads of videos, and he just comes across as like such a fucking sound bloke as well.
His studio's about 15 minutes from here.
Really?
Yeah, he's Mrs. Sarah, who owns Rinse.
Yeah.
He's my mate's sister. So, we've been trying to get Zinc involved for a long time now, haven't we?
Off the beaten track.
Or hardcore listening, because Chris loves his drum and bass.
Of course,
But, he's a dude. And I've been watching some of them videos as well.
Seems so happy, doesn't he?
I'll tell you a good podcast. He done Trailblazers.
Yes.
With Eddie Temple Morris and Nick Hawks from XL. He's fucking brilliant on that. Zinc is absolutely great.
What are you talking about? Number two.
Yes.
Number two, comedy.
Yes.
So again, there's so many kind of holes you can go down with this, but And I know I've heard kind of comedians talking in the past about kind of people putting their videos up and how they don't kind of like it when it's kind of filmed live or whatever. But I think for me, it's almost like a gateway, though, because you might not have heard of that comedian.
Yeah.
But there's so many little clips of just like, Gary Delaney. I think he's married to Sarah Millican.
Is it Gary Delaney?
Yeah. I think it's Delaney. Anyway, he's this guy, and he's been on like Mock the Week and that, and he does. It's all one-liners. And there's a video of him like doing 15 minutes of just kind of one-liners, just like one after the other. It's fucking hilarious. But so there's kind of clips of stand-ups. Heckle put downs are always
heckle put downs, amazing. Yeah,
exactly.
The classic Jim. Who's the Aussie?
Jim Jeffries.
Yeah. I mean, that goes bandy, doesn't it? Yeah. There's a couple of good Rogan ones.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carr's a bit of a master at that as well.
Yeah.
And the place I mentioned with the sprung dance floor.
Yeah.
Jimmy tests his material here every year. So he comes here, and it's generally full up with people from this area that...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I shouldn't. Yeah. but then at the end he'll go, right, who's got something to say then? And generally someone from our era go, you're a fucking nonce, Jim. And then he'll just go bang, 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 and just ruin everyone. He's like, he's the master. So good at it. Do you know what? There was a quick thing. I was actually telling my pal about it Thursday night. I think about three years into doing it. He'd just come on, and then literally the lights come up and it all went a bit weird. Someone had a heart attack in the crowd. And so it's like, fuck. So everyone was like sort of gone quiet, and Jimmy's sort of standing awkwardly on the stage. And then the ambulance arrives, you know, the guy's taken out, and then, you know, he's still standing thinking, wow, this is going to be quite strange. The lights go back down, and he went, that was quite bad. I mean, it would have made the greatest start to an episode of Casualty ever. Fucking great. And I did just think, I wonder how long into this situation did he think, oh, I've got a good bit of gold here.
So you just see this wry smile come on his face in the background.
He's probably thinking, this is the best case scenario. Someone's had a heart attack in my audience.
But the year before when he done it, someone set fire at a venue and everyone got evacuated as well. So it does bring its own troubles coming to grace.
But you're right, you can see so many great and get new influence for new comedians
there
for sure. Good and bad.
What other ones have you got under comedy?
Under comedy, there's panel show clips.
Yeah.
And there's two that are my absolute go-tos there. The first one's 8 out of 10, Cats Does Countdown.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's like I think there's a channel just dedicated to it, but there's like bits of just, you know, like where Jimmy introduces all of the guests and then he says a little insulting thing about them, that which is fucking hilarious in itself. There's bits of like just Sean Locke, just kind of, because they always kind of cut to Sean Locke and go, Sean, what's the thing you're most proud of? And he said, I once went seal clubbing and they said it was like nothing they've ever seen before. Hammer in both hands, fucking hobnail boots on. And just stuff like that. It's like fucking hilarious. So there's... and then, but the absolute king of that is Bob Mortimer. Would I Lie to You? And I think there's a video. It's about an hour long of Bob Mortimer just doing these stories on Would I Lie to You, and it is unbelievable.
Cracking an egg in the bath and stuff.
Funniest man on the planet.
He's great.
Funniest man on the planet.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to also throw in edited, so things like I want to go and look at the best of Jim and Dwight.
Yeah,
from the American Office, and I know that, Tim and Gareth, and it's like things like that where I can just go bang. And my favourite comedy one is Derek Outtakes, watching David Earl and Ricky in a caravan, and David's being as vulgar as he can be, and Ricky can't deal with it. And I reckon I've watched that so many times, and Vic and Bob. The sketches from Shooting Stars, Geordie Jeans, anything like that, where they just look fucking ridiculous, and especially if Bob's starting to laugh and he's fighting it, where he tries to buy a caravan off of George Dawes, he's my go-to. He's my absolute number one.
See, that's just jogged another couple as well, so... There's ones of just George Dawes, you know, where he comes out and he's baby grown and he's like kind of his little intro bit, or the songs he did as well. Is it Potato?
Potato. Peanuts. Lesbians. Women making love to each other.
You said David Earl. So one of my most watched YouTube things ever, we spoke about this a lot, is... where our friend Brett Goldstein and David Earl as Brian Gittins did Brian Makes a Rap video.
Yeah.
And that just has me in absolute tears. Like, alternate comedy, YouTube is the place for it.
Yeah.
Because if you can't get, like, big people behind you, like, who can? You can just bang it out on there. And it's just absolutely all Brian Gittins stuff, and with Angelos as well. It's just gold, and it's free, and it's there, and it's hysterical. But a different, completely different side of like humour is like, I think it's more, it's come from more, this is the YouTube generation, but they're frenetic, sort of insane meme videos where it's like memes that I think about daily, and it'll just be like 20 insane things that have happened that someone's captured on camera, all edited together, and it might be people having fucking breakdowns, people just having, just being stupid, being very funny, quick-witted, oddballs, and like the YouTube, this young ADHD generation where they just need everything, like they need it to be so fast, and you watch how quickly they edit it, it's absolutely bananas. It would never make TV, it's genius.
I hear it from the kids' iPads, and literally they're like just killing themselves laughing, and I just, I'm too old.
You can't get it.
I'm too old. I'm like, it's moving too fast, and they're too loud. They do my name.
Yeah, it's like even it's so true, because they will intentionally blow out the audio levels on things when people are screaming intentionally.
Yeah,
and it's genius. I found myself in a YouTube hole, and this was I can't remember the name of this girl. It was an American girl, and she was just obviously set herself up as an internet troll, as like some basic bitch American girl who. Was always getting offended by everything all the people responding were saying, but everyone was in on it. So it was really spiteful, but no one was really being... It's a bit like us. Like, you don't mean what you say to me, right?
It's a bit awkward, isn't it?
Right, okay. Yeah, but it's like that. It's like everyone's rotten to her on her Twitch stream, but it was re-edited together for YouTube. And I was lost in this fucking thing for hours watching this. I can't remember the name of this girl now. And I thought it was absolutely genius that she's just started creating this content from her assuming an identity that is very easily you want to hate on her. And yet she's 100% knows what she's doing. And she's young and smart and witty, but also putting on this character. And I thought it was marvellous that exists. And yet, like you say, so many of us in our generations would just be like, what is going on? She's on the camera talking, and then people are throwing her tips. And then there's these other little videos popping up of like little gifs of people dancing that are of memes themselves, memes on memes. But it is, you can get lost in it. And it is a little bit like, it took me a little while to sort of adjust to it. But there is real creative genius in it as well. But it is not in the sort of the humour how we've been, what we've been brought up on.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess a subcategory of that as well is like the my lad watches is just the random shit that some people film. There's this one channel. I can't think what it's called now. I think they're called The Sharers or something like that. And there's these two lads. I think their surname's Sharer. They're American. And they just kind of just film their life, basically. And they've got millions of followers. And from getting millions of followers, they then get sponsorship. And so they live in this fucking massive house. They've got like a Lamborghini painted bright green with their logo on it. And they just film themselves doing fucking nothing. They'll sort of kind of set up all these random shit, challenges or whatever, you know, but it's proper crap. But my lad loves it,
yeah.
And I guess, you know, loads of 8 to 10 year olds love it as well. Just like watching people just doing stupid stuff, you know.
They're the rock stars and the movie stars of this current generation. Like, because like we used to say, like some people buy into the rock and roll lifestyle because they want to know some people are living that dream, you know, the sex, drugs, and wow, look at what they get up to. It's amazing. I can't do that. Wish I could. It's a fantasy. I want to at least see some. I want to vicariously live that through a rock and roll star, and you do that with movie stars. But now kids can buy in and go, shit, that could actually be me. You know, you literally don't have to be anything. And that's a double-edged sword. And we've often talked about being famous for fame's sake and how dangerous that can be. But there is a charm to that as well. So, it goes into this, that's not right or wrong. It's just different. And it's up to us to help kids navigate that and coming back to picking the peanuts from the turd of where is that a reasonable thing to want to rely on, and also don't put all your hopes on the fact that you're going to become some YouTube sensation for doing all these absolutely bananas things, like you say, these YouTube personalities, you know. So.
Yeah, and that was it. You know, he was saying to me, I think I'm going to be, a YouTuber when I'm older. It's like that's now seen as a viable career choice.
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah, you know, for good or bad, it is, and it's and it has got a punk rock ethic to it, where you can just like what we're doing right now.
Yeah,
you know, if us fuckwits can, you know that we're going to have X amount of people listening to this, just through buying a couple of cheap mics and that, it's only the same as buying a little camera and uploading it on.
And if you make hard work, you know, hard work and dedication towards that, then you can. You've got to really want it, and it is there. You can be that as well. So
Number one.
So number one for me is music, and okay, kind of a little bit unsurprisingly, but kind of music was how I found out about YouTube in the first place. Really, someone said, "Oh, you know, go and have a look at this and that on there." But like now, there is probably. Literally just about every music ever made, you know, and I mean, from a record label's perspective, YouTube's so important now as well. You know, when we put tunes out, if we get channel owners, because you know, there's channels out there for every kind of genre of music nowadays, you know, and some of them have like millions and millions of followers, and if one of them streams one of your tracks or puts it in a mix or something, then you suddenly get kind of loads and loads of kind of hits on the back of that. And so so YouTube is so important for music, but you know, aside from the promotion side of it, just kind of random live performances of bands that you've forgotten about from years ago. For me personally, I love watching scratch DJs as well, and there's so much of that, just amazing stuff. But then, like, interviews with the musicians, studio footage. I saw this thing the other day. It was like the 9th recording of Hey Jude in the studio, and it's like, you know, it's clearly not the one that made it onto the record. It's totally different. But you know, stuff like that. That again, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, it's like you never would have had access to that, you know. And it's just such a resource for anything. And you know, if you find yourself interested in one particular kind of music, you can then just go off and spend days, weeks, just, you know, because it's all there, you know.
Everything from just the audio to the things that can visually accompany it. You're totally right, mate.
Yeah.
Discovering new artists, because then they'll get recommended. It's like Spotify, but this was YouTube's been doing that for a long time. I see music videos, visuals cut to audio.
Yeah.
And actually, that's the first time I've heard that artist. I've said Lorne before is this this electronic producer who fucking, he blows my mind. And I've seen his stuff cut to like strange like animation, and it's fucking fantastic. I love it.
As I've spoken about many times in this podcast, my obsession growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, recording little videos off of the chart show at the weekend or Top of the Pops. And that's probably my favourite thing to do on YouTube, is to go, right, okay, so Teenage Mother Superior by Bedazzled.
None of this exists, by the way. These aren't bands.
And you just think, like, my God, like, did they ever make a video to that? I don't think I've ever seen a video by that band. Yeah. And I'll go on there, and I'm like,
There it is.
And I'm straight away, I think, how many views has that had? And you just think, 500. And you think, 500 people have also just thought, I wonder if that band that didn't probably even have an actual hit, like, had any videos.
But then it's magic then, reading the comments.
It's brilliant.
Like, because like that, that's when it's golden, when you read comments.
Because
like,
it's kindred spirits.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll have someone saying, this is just everything about life that I love. Like, I can't begin to tell you how sacred this one thing is.
Yeah.
And it's had 1,000 listens, and you're like, and I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there'll be an old drum and bass tune that I've been struggling to find, and then someone's taking the time to upload it, and I'm like, fuck me.
And
then you can hear everyone going, da da da, and then they're having chats about where they were.
Yeah.
Fuck me, was you at that rave, da da da? And you're just like, that's something special. As much as there can be a lot of venom, which can be hysterical, sometimes I'll see the thumbnail title of a fucking video channel, and I'm reading the comments before I'm even watching the video, because I'm like, this is going to be fire. I'm just going to get some popcorn and read the comments.
Yeah.
Because you can do that. Like, you could publish books on the most epic comic threads.
Well, I mean, Adam Buxton's done whole shows about it, hasn't he? Yeah.
He has, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very
But I mean, yeah, the comments can be a dark place, but
But
I think more so with kind of some of the other things, but with music, it tends to be, in my experience, more kind of positive, because it's like you've gone looking for it, you know?
You start going on to political sort of stuff, and it can get crazy, or people, then it starts to... Sports, fighting, it gets quite salty, doesn't it? You know, fuck Conor McGregor, and then you just have everyone, you know, his fans. And
just been announced, January.
Yeah,
Cowboy. Mm-hmm. I on the music theme, what I will say is I will constantly go on there and put, right, I want to watch the devotional tour, Depeche Mode 1992. I want to go and watch that. And then if I put in Depeche Mode live, devotional, or whatever track I want to listen to, sometimes you have to trawl through 3 pages of shit filmed from the back of the O2 on a telephone, and it's like, oh...
Yeah,
I'm not feeling that. I don't want to watch shit quality.
And that's why people shouldn't film on their phones, because they're losing the moment for thinking that someone's going to want to watch that piece of shit. That's frustrating, man.
Yeah, I mean, you want to film your gig and show your pals. Mm. Social media's all right for that. Mm. You ain't got to put it on YouTube for people you don't know have to listen to.
I was at a gig last night, and there must have been probably about 50% of the people had just their phone in the hand the entire time.
That's mad for me.
You know, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I took a couple of little videos and a couple of photos, but. You know, and it was Chemical Brothers. It was a spectacular gig, with all the visuals and all of that. But I was thinking, like, you know, there was a geezer stood not far from me, and I swear he literally filmed the whole concert. And we weren't near the front, we were about halfway back, you know, and I was thinking, when are you going to sit and watch that back?
Yeah.
You
know, you're never going to.
Just enjoy it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And live your fucking life, mate.
I think I might have said to you... Sorry, go on.
No, go on.
I said to you when we went to see Madonna in Hyde Park years ago, like, the woman in front of me stood there and held an iPad above her head for the whole show.
People that film on iPads.
I could see the worst version of Craig popping out then and making a feature of accidentally slamming that out of her hand. And I mean, one other thing on this, and this I was going to say, this is one of my favourite things to do, is having music video off. So you've had a few drinks with one of your mates, you're having a sort of a chilled one or whatever. Mm. So me and my cousin Robin do this often. We either do it with comedy, which is amazing, because you can just put skits up like Key and Peele and stuff like that, you know, I discovered really, not on Comedy Central, but through YouTube. But music videos, and just going, right, You throw one at me. All right, cool. Have you seen this one? And it's just a world of pleasure, of sometimes knowing the band, sometimes not, but just seeing the quality of it. Like Metronomy have done some incredible music videos. Yeah. And yeah, it's just so much fun. Yeah.
And it's good with that as well, that you can throw in like covers of stuff, because, you know, there are some shit covers, there's also some really fucking good ones. So I used to love Rage Against the Machine when I was younger. We went to a concert when I was 16 in Liverpool, went to the Royal Court to see Rage Against the Machine just when, like, Killing in the Name and the first album came out. And I've had tinnitus in my right ear ever since that gig.
No.
It's,
really?
Yeah, it's literally like, next day I couldn't hear, and went to the doctor, and he was like, fucked your eardrum, because it was so fucking like, but it was amazing, best gig I've ever been to. But there's a thing on YouTube called Brass Against the Machine. Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, that's
so good, isn't it?
Every song as well.
Yeah.
I don't share a lot on Facebook.
Yeah.
Other than pictures of me that get taken down, but Brass Against the Machine I've shared on there a few times.
And I think they're in the UK playing quite soon.
Oh, are they really?
Mm. Yeah.
Up for that.
Because I heard Killing in the Name, and I was whoa. Because obviously we'd heard the Hackney Connery Band's version, and it was like, oh, hang on, now there's this amazing female vocalist, just looks cool as fuck and sings angry as fuck. Mm. And then it was like, oh, man, they've done Sleep Now in the Fire. Mm. They've done like all the fucking hits. It's like, oh, that will be a good gig, man.
And the one for me is Wake Up, off there, you know, the one that was in The Matrix. She is fucking incredible, isn't she? There was like comments on there like, this woman could lead me into battle. what's he called? Is Zach De La Rocha?
Yeah.
Zach De La Rocha. He's got a pretty distinctive voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, and I love that.
Mm.
But she properly captured it as well, didn't she? But different as well.
Yeah. Exactly. It doesn't feel like she's lost.
She hasn't ripped him off.
But it's also worth listening to in that style, for sure.
Absolutely.
There's one other one that I just want to say on this as well, which is movie soundtracks,
which
is a whole other kind of subcategory of music. The one from The Martian... I haven't even seen the film, but the music's fucking incredible. Right. But like all of the Hans Zimmer stuff,
Hans Zimmer's amazing.
You know, there's some absolutely incredible movie soundtrack, and most of them are kind of on YouTube as well.
Go and watch Hans Zimmer. I think he's in Berlin live, and Johnny Marr's playing guitar with him, and they're doing from Shutter Island, was it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Is it called Time? I think.
Is it Inception?
Inception.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Fucking hell! Like, I've rinsed that a lot on YouTube. Before we finish on music, obviously afterwards we'll get some honourable mentions in if anyone's got anything. Can I just close music with saying the greatest thing music related you can ever watch on YouTube, which I watch once a month, is seeing JK from Jamiroquai getting headbutted by a photographer.
It's
the greatest thing you will ever see. That restores my faith in human beings.
That and Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain.
Oh my God, Chocolate Rain.
That's an old school meme, that is. That's the glory days of, that's where memes were born, really.
That did. And then he did a whole video about, it was, he'd put comments on the video, like, about how he turns away from the microphone so he doesn't breathe into it.
Of course, yeah, you got chocolate.
Fucking genius, hell. JK video's fucking hell. So I thought, when Jamiroquai first came out, I thought he looked like a bit of a dude.
Yeah, right. We all did.
Emergency on Planet Earth, making great music.
Yeah.
It's great.
But he comes across as such a cunt, doesn't he?
Massive.
Unfortunately,
massive.
It shows that famous saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. When you've got everything, from having nothing and being in a bit of trouble, which he was, to having everything, his tunes change very quickly. From Emergency on Planet Earth to what am I doing? I'm just going to dance and don't worry about anything. Okay, cool. Nice one, Jay. Thanks, bro, for that. How many motors you got? They're all motoring marvels, but it just scares me how much he changed. Yeah. So, yeah, headbutt well warranted.
Go on.
No, go on, mate.
I was just going to say, in that video as well, is the way he's talking to the guy.
Yeah, totally.
And he's not even talking like a normal person. He's going, he kicked his car.
Yeah.
He's going, did you kick my motor vehicle?
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck says motor vehicle?
JK.
Or was it motor car? But, it was just like, come on.
Yeah. If anyone ever needed to have their nose bust, it was him.
Well, this moves very nicely into any other honourable mention, so I'll throw out instant karma videos.
It's my number one.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Stu. I'm sorry, bro.
No, mate, it's this honourable mention time.
Yeah. Dr. Pimple Popper.
My God.
That series link there, because it's now it's now on television. So, so me and Carol series link it, and we just whiz through. It's like, I don't care about the backstory. It's quite apparent they can't afford healthcare. So,
get me to that boy.
Hence, they've had a football on their back for like 6 years, and just, I want to see the sexy doctor just burst that shit. Because there's two ways. It's either a sebaceous or a something cyst. There's two.
Sebaceous, yeah.
And like one of them is where she puts her hand in and pulls the brain thing out, where it makes that sort of noise. And she's like got the rubber gloves and she's going in and pulling it out. But that's not my favourite. My favourite is when Dr. Pimple Popper puts on like the plastic welding mask and you think, it's going to blow. Yeah. Yes! Oh, and it's just that little cut and then boom. Yeah.
And it's where they're squeezing it. And it all kind of comes out, and then there's a load of blood, and you think, right, that's it.
Never
and
is.
And then they dig in again with the thumbs, and it's like, oh,
satisfying.
It's mind-boggling how much shit is in some of those shits, isn't it? It's the cottage cheese.
Yeah. Anything like that, like blackhead removal, ingrowing hair removal, excessive earwax, anything like that,
Sign me up.
Bites where there's like eggs under the skin and things like that.
What is it? Bot flies, isn't it? Yeah, and it comes out and it's about like 2 inches long.
Yeah.
And this thing's been like living in somebody's lip or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All over that.
I woke up this morning with one that's growing on my face right now. I think it's after a late night last night. So
a butterfly.
I think like a big fucking blind spot. So I reckon in a day or so I'll film that. I'll send it to you.
It's so bad because we're so addicted to it. Me and my niece, and like, so any of our family members, as soon as they've got spots or something, we are like gathering round. We've got all our kit to do it. And then we'll go in. Like, one of my other nieces had one in her ear and it was massive. And we burst out a couple of weeks ago. And the joy from the squeals of joy from me and Gemma as we'd achieved like, you know, the volcano eruption was just
something
else. Going back to Instant Karma, and I guess that applies to the JK video, but just any kind of bully beatdown, any kind of thing where there's some pisshead just gobbing off at a doorman and then the doorman just goes bomb.
Yeah. My classic one is the guy, he's like a skinhead and it's in like sort of like, and the skinhead is going at this bloke, right? And he looks like a normal
Keeps
guy.
Keeps wrestling his dustbin, doesn't
he? Yeah. And he's going at him and it turns out this guy does martial arts and he lights him up. And then you see...
One shot.
Yeah. And you see the absolute stereotypical coward in that man as he scrabbles to get away.
Well, he zigzags. He's caught him on the button.
Yeah.
I know the one you're on about. Is it? It's in Warrington or something like that, isn't he?
Yeah.
And it is like, I think that guy's kind of known for being a proper twat. And yeah, he's like, he's stood on the guy's front door, isn't he? That's it. It's like kind of giving him shit. On his front doorstep.
Yeah,
the guy absolutely nailed it. It's kind of one punch as well, isn't it?
One punch, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Anything like that where there's just some justice, you just think, there you go. You deserve that. I love stuff like that. I end up going down them like street fight rabbit holes as well.
Exactly.
Just watching.
And then you're like questioning, like, should I be watching this?
You know?
I think that's a whole other one.
I think ones that have been set up, you know, where it's like happy slapping type stuff. I mean, that is fucking terrible.
Mm.
But when the victim turns out to be, you know, he's got something in his trunk, it's awesome.
Completely.
The one in Germany, I think it is, where the guy's walking through the part of his missus and the two guys
just walk past him and
just grab his missus or something like that, and he clearly knows what he's doing and he lights them up. Like, that's quite good. And have you seen the one when the guy's running through the shopping centre? And the guy just glances over his shoulder and just does the spinning round ass and just connects flush. And it's like, you motherfucker, that's incredible. If that was set up, then fair play. Yeah. But still, it was like, mate, you're a matrix, mate.
I saw one the other day. This is quite a well-known one at the moment. There's two men in a newsagent, and one of the guys is homeless, and this other guy's bullying him and smashing him into a drinks machine constantly. And the woman behind the counter just walks out around the counter, nothing of this girl, straight right, just drops this dude, and then calmly walks back around the counter. And it's beautiful that she just thought, stop doing that to that homeless guy.
Yeah.
And just fucking floors him. Yeah.
There's lots of videos like that of like in-store cameras of like robberies and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where it turns out that the guy behind the counter's
Bruce Lee.
Yeah, you know.
Or's got a gun.
Or like where people kind of, you know, just other shoppers will intervene and like take the guy down.
Yeah.
Actually we're kind of recording this the night after
that thing
in London last night where a load of guys kind of jumped on the guy with the knife, didn't they? And I was talking to my mates in the car on the way to the gig last night. I was saying, you know, I'd like to think I'd be that guy, but I don't know for certain.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, Phil, I genuinely think you could be that guy one day and the next day you might not be him.
Yeah.
And I think that the problem is we're so quick to put ourselves into different categories and go, you did that once, so you're always that person. And I don't think that's the case. I think you can be brave in those moments, and I think you can be a coward in those moments.
A massive love and respect to PC Leon McLeod, our mate, who I'm imagining has probably been quite an awful thing for him to see that yesterday as well, and have to kind of relive what he had to deal with. So, big love to Leon.
Yeah. And a nice way to probably end, right, Phil?
Yeah.
You got any other honourable mentions, mate, before you...
I guess one just to call out is one that you mentioned a while back, which is Nicolas Cage coming out on Logan.
Oh, fucking hell.
And I hadn't seen that, and I listened to the episode, and I looked at fucking hell, that is something else, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tremendous.
Yeah. No one's ever made a better entrance, ever.
No, fact.
Ever. He ticks every single box whilst just being the biggest badass ever.
I was trying to think, but, you know, that must have been...
Wild at Heart.
Yeah, so it was what, late 80s, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he hadn't kind of done that much in the scheme of things by then. You know, it was like possibly his like first kind of round of touring in the UK.
I mean, he maxed that.
Yeah, he made an impression.
Cocaine's one hell of a drug.
It really is.
And that's the Rick James, Dave Chappelle sketch, which you can YouTube, which is amazing.
So where can people find out all about your label?
So all social medias, really. I mean, because I'm an old guy, it tends to be more kind of Facebook than Twitter.
Yeah.
But we've got, if you search for us on, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but I don't understand Instagram because it's not made for someone my age.
Sure.
But yeah, so we've got active pages on all of them. If you search for Emergent Music, and then we've got kind of sub pages of the rest of them. And then if you're kind of interested in the stuff that I've done, again, Skewer, SKUA on Facebook.
Don't Google that.
Yeah, don't go unless. Well, just skip through the first few pages. we've got new releases every single week. So all our stuff's on Spotify and iTunes, Beatport, all the kind of places that you would go for your music. So.
Well, we'll share some links as well.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you. Phil, thanks loads, man.
Phil, great. Yeah,
cheers for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Take it easy, mate.
See ya.
Oh, yeah? Sorry. I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well, podbiblemag.com. It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.